Millions of people struggle in their business because they fail to leverage the business relationships they have. And that's why today we'll discuss how to become a wealthy magnetic super connector. Gil Petersil will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Gil is he's the founder of Meet Partners, global speaker, entrepreneur, and strategic partnership expert with over 25 years of experience building companies in high trust business ecosystems. And he has co-founded 20 ventures, delivered more than 1,000 talks worldwide, and helped founders generate measurable growth through partnerships and relationship capital. So Gil, tell us about why most people are either broke super connectors or simply just leverage, they fail to leverage the business relationships in their lives to turn it into cash in the bank.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, such a beautiful question, Lily. Thank you so much for doing this. This is wonderful. So, you know, I think that the simplest answer, they've never been taught how to do it properly. None of us really have ever been taught the concept, the idea, the complexities around networking is not been taught in school. Imagine if in school, when we were very young, we were taught how to make new friends or how to change friends or what does it mean to move schools? Oh my God, that's traumatic for a lot of people, but that's a networking effect because today as adults, we need to change countries. We need to change jobs. We need to change networks. So if no one taught us the ABCs of human connection, relationship management, co-elevation, collaboration, how can we ever expect someone who suddenly, through the gifts of the gab, and God gave them some other magical abilities, managed to connect with a lot of people? And because potentially their star sign, or maybe their culture, or maybe some of their, you know, parents and social environment, they became what is called a social connector, a super connector, a magnet in the event space. Sure, we have many of those around. But who says that they know what they're doing? That's the thing that I've learned. They don't. Just because they've connected with a lot of people doesn't mean they have the right algorithms and frameworks to be able to make that work for them. Not just work for them because I want to live a good life and I want to be able to earn money from this, but like, hey, networking is actually a lot of work. That's why the word work is inside of networking, because it requires us to work on it. Constant work. It's an ongoing process that we go through since the moment we are actually conceived, but we're not going to go into that spiritual level of we're networking when we're conceived as a baby, and that's how we become a baby. We network with our mother initially. We can network with our fathers even while we're in the baby, in the actual stomach itself. That's why, you know, babies would react to the parents. We are able to network when we're sleeping, but that's too deep for some of the audiences out there. We're able to network with animals. We're able to network with God, meditation and prayer. We're able to network with plants, which is why people love having plants around the house. It helps us breathe better. It helps us give us good energy. It helps us, the house, give it good aura. It's all, to me, about networking, which means that the super connectors in the world have a very big responsibility. And it's not just to connect people, but to understand what are the effects of my connection? What are the potential consequences of my connection? How can I be kept accountable for these connections? And because a lot of people are just connecting, they don't necessarily are following any codes of ethics, any frameworks towards success. And this is something that I could say, even on my best days, I don't do it all perfectly, even when I have the systems in place and the teams in place. So what I tell people is, hey, if you think you're a super connector, wonderful. Choose your top 20 connections and ask yourself, how can I add value to them every single week for the next 1 year? And then consider, how can I measure this a little bit more? And as soon as it becomes almost like an activity, a habit, because for me, networking are a set of spiritual habits. And as long as a super connector or as a simple new networking expert or even someone that's just now getting into active networking, all they need to understand is networking are habits, and we can constantly improve on them as long as we're practicing what we believe is great. And we can always ask others, hey, how can I improve this habit that I have?
Thank you. The thing that frustrates me the most as a super connector myself is that you can encounter people that are incredibly successful. And yet, for example, let's say you want to be their affiliate, and let's say they come on a podcast or they come on your stage and they're not willing to give anything. Like they're not willing to actually work with you. They don't see your value. Okay. The other thing that frustrates me sometimes, and I'm not talking this is everybody, I'm just saying some people are like this. The other thing that frustrates me a lot is, let's say there are people who have the capacity, who are like literally making multi-millions, and they have the capacity to make you their affiliate and to give you like a small percentage or whatever. And when it comes to it, they promise it, but they actually don't deliver on it. However, there are other people who are so serious about, and they really truly understand your value so much that they keep you in the loop every single time that a deal happens. And they say, by the way, I'm still connecting with X, Y, and Z person that you introduced me. And by the way, I'm doing this thing. And then when it comes to it, like they send you your affiliate commission without like any questions asked. You don't have to like follow up on them like 20 times. The other thing that frustrates me a lot is also the following up thing where you have to literally be that person that is like on people's backs and saying, you know, by the way, did anything happen? You know, like following up 20 times with that person. And then there's other people who are so good at having like so many amazing systems in place where they're tracking everything. They're keeping you in the loop. They're just amazing. And I think about the thing that influences that is, I guess, a lot of different things. One is the values of the person. And they could be like an ultra successful, ultra well-known, ultra famous person that is still acting this way, that even when it comes to it, to like your affiliate commission, you know, they will even like try to make it look like the commission was actually a lot smaller and all these different things. And so what I think the thing that influences your ability to be like a great networker is having a certain set of values and principles that you stick to. And, you know, being like a great a person who tracks everything and has great systems in place. And I'm wondering, what are your 10 commandments, or if you don't have 10, a different number of commandments that you would say are very important to put in place so you can become a wealthy magnetic super connector that manages to sustain great relationships over the long term?
Yeah, wow. So that's let's not go through the 10 commandments right now. We don't have enough time to do that on today's call. If people want, my top 10 networking philosophies, they could reach out, and I'm happy. I have a lot of gifts that I give people for free. Most of the content out there that I've outlined over the last 20 years of studying the arts and sciences of human networking are out there completely complimentary for people to access. Over the last few years, I've had to go very deeply into the understanding and philosophies around following up and reconnecting, as you mentioned. And I understood that it is actually one of the weakest parts of human beings. So we're actually pretty okay at connecting with people. We're not okay at reconnecting, and we're really, really bad at disconnecting, like really, really bad. And all three of those parts are parts of networking. So the actual connecting, the reconnecting, and the disconnecting, this is a constant flow. So it's a constant flow like our DNA. So following up with someone definitely requires some systems in place, or requires discipline. It requires maybe an assistant, or these days a really good AI that can help you. It requires maybe some software to remind you, but it really requires you as an individual to say, hey, I want to. And once you say, I want to, you could say, well, I don't know how to do it. Let me empower someone else to do it. Or I don't know how to do it. Let me read a book, or let me go to a course and learn how to do it. Because connecting with people is not easy, but it's the easiest part from all three parts. So you have the connecting, reconnecting, and disconnecting. So the connecting part, really not easy. Networking is extremely complex. It's, if you look at the top three human fears that we have, as Google top 10 fears that human beings have, the top three are all connected to networking. Public speaking, fear of rejection, fear of disconnection, fear of loss, all of these. Sometimes people say even the top five fears that we have as human beings in general in the world are all connected to networking. So no one should say, I'm great at networking, no problem, I can improve. Whenever I go on stages and I ask people, hey, how would you rank yourselves out of 10 in networking? Most people would say 7, 8. But I'll tell them, hey, on my best days, and I've been studying this for 20 years, I've been teaching it professionally for 15 years, over 1,000 stages around the world, hundreds of retreats on this, hundreds of workshops on this. I've written a lot about this for universities around the world. I've helped governments around the world. On my best days, when all my systems are working, everything is in place, AIs are in place, people are in place, I may be a 6.5 out of 10. Majority of people are usually about a 1, maybe a 2 out of 10 when it comes to networking. So there's a couple of things to break down there. The connecting part, being a lot more inquisitive is, and this is one of the commandments, is to, who do I wish to network with and why? So this is not necessarily number one commandment. I don't want to go through the commandments in general. I just want to go through what is really relevant to what I believe your audience needs right now. Number one, who do I wish to meet with and why? So you could see this commandment and say to yourself, hey, are the people that I'm going to be spending time with today are most relevant and a priority in my life right now or not? And if they're not, that must be a commandment to disconnect. Hey, I don't need to meet these people for lunch this week. Hey, I don't need to speak to this person for 2 hours today. Hey, I don't need to meet up this person for a coffee that's just going to take all of my energy this week. It's not what I need. That's not an easy one to do. Yeah. So first of all, ask yourselves, everybody that's listening, who do I need to meet with now in the nearest future? Maybe the nearest future is 3 days, 7 days, 10 days. Maybe it's, you know, 2, 3 weeks, but the nearest future is not the next few months. Nearest future. Second thing I would look at that's very, very relevant is, why do I want to connect to these people and what do I have to offer? So most people, when they're thinking about networking, it's more about what can I take? Who do I need? What I need them to give me. But you can also consider, okay, if I have a list of who I want to connect with, that's a great start. What am I going to give them? What's in it for them? Why are they going to meet me? What value do I have? And this is a big part of the work that I do with many of the entrepreneurs I work with. I help them identify many, 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 many gifts that they actually have and value that they have and resource that they have and connections that they have that they can be very valuable. And I teach them, hey, how was I able to be so valuable for Tony Robbins? How was I able to be valuable for Richard Branson? Within a minute of meeting him, I was valuable. Within 3 minutes of meeting him, he offered his business card to me out of 20 people in the room, and everybody wanted one. You know, how are you able to be valuable to billionaires in the room? You don't have to start with that. I didn't start with them. I started with simpler people, and then I climbed up. So consider that value exchange. Something else I would really go deeper into, and it is one of the commandments. What kind of questions do I want to ask these people? So curiosity is one of the top commandments I have. It's one of the top three philosophies I have in networking. How curious are you to the people in your network? Do you know enough about your top 20 people? Like, do you know when is their birthday? Do you know if they love to, you know, drink infused water, or if they're a wine person or a tea person? Do you know their wife or husband's name? Do you know if they have kids? Do you know anything about them? Like, these are top 20 people in your network you were talking about, not just family members, top clients, top partners, you know, like, do you know information? Are you curious? Do you want to know? So this is very important, because in networking, if you want people to be interested in you, you must be interested in them. Yeah. And in order for you to be interesting, like an interesting person, the hack for you to be an interesting person is to start by being interested in them. And that opens up curiosity. It starts to flourish the network. Everything around you starts flourishing. You see opportunities popping up and introductions popping up. And this one other commandment that actually gets broken down into three commandments, but again, we're not going to break it down too much today. We're going to keep it simple for everyone. It's the art of following up. It's the art of reconnecting. So if I'm meeting people and I've identified who I want to meet and I'm curious and about them and I want to be interested in them, how do I follow up with them? How often can I follow up with them? So the rule to me, number one, is it's never too late to follow up. Even if you lost their business card and you wanted to reconnect with them a year later, reconnect them on LinkedIn and say, hey, we connected a year ago at a Tony Robbins event. Back then, I wasn't really ready yet to follow up with you because I was an entrepreneur that was struggling through my journey. I'm now really ready to connect with you. I'd love to jump on a call with you. Or maybe if you don't mind, I'll leave you a little voice message and you can leave me one back. Something as simple as that. Or even a follow up. Hey, we just met a couple of days ago at an amazing event. It was real pleasure to connect with you at the event. I enjoyed our conversation where it went. I'd love to take you out for a cup of tea in the next few days. How's Wednesday or Thursday working out for you? If that doesn't work out for you, let's jump on a Zoom whenever you can and the evenings works best for me. So anything like that is a fun follow-up. Now, follow-ups don't have one template. People keep on asking me that. It's never ending. So again, the commandments are many. I don't just have 10. I actually have 100 commandments, the do's and don'ts. Commandments are not only positive. They're not only what you should do. Commandments, you know, in the Bible is what you should not do as well. So I have the do's and don'ts of networking. These days, again, if people want, they can just write me on any social media and ask me for one of the gifts. They can either ask for a gift. They can write the word audit and they'll get a networking audit, which helps them understand where they are in the networking world. They can write the word network and they'll just get my top 10 commandments on how to just network much better, much better. And everyone out there has to audit themselves and improve how they network. I do it constantly myself.
Thank you. One mistake I was doing all the time when I was networking in London was that I used to ask really influential people, how can I help you right now? Or how can I support you right now in your projects? And I noticed that they were feeling a little bit triggered by this question because it felt like they needed something and they really didn't want to feel like they needed anything from me. And I'm wondering what would be a better question to ask them? Like, how can I add value to you right now? Or like, how would you ask this question in a way that you actually get an answer and less
triggered? Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, Lily. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge you that very little people in the world would actually have that even in their mindset. The how can I help you mindset is actually one of my top commandments. And it's a mindset. You don't even have to say these words, but the fact that you have that and you have the courage to say these words already puts you in the top percentile of the world. Most of the world do not even think that way. And the ones who think, they don't have the courage to say, how can I help you? So that's amazing that you already do. And it's good to practice. Now, first of all, starting by the how can I help you mindset puts you in a curious position where sometimes you can even start your homework at home. So if you know you're going to meet some VIPs, if you're going to connect with the speakers at an event, or you're potentially going to meet with the organizers in the event, you could do some research at home. I love that. That's how I managed to connect so deeply with Richard Branson. When I knew I was going to meet him at a backstage of an event, we were both speakers at the same event, I did some research on what was relevant for Richard Branson right now. And when I came into the green room and there was 20 other people in the room, there were two billionaires in the room, millionaires and like VIPs, about 20 people in the room. And I was listening for a few minutes and seeing them asking him questions that were really irrelevant for him. And they were all questions that they can get answered from Google because he's already answered those questions 100 times. They're in his book, they're on podcasts. I did research and I was able to understand that he had some needs connected to the airline back then, connected to his mobile phone that he wanted to launch in different countries. And I was able to ask him questions that were relevant to him, but were still interesting for us and everyone in the room. And that right away gave me his full attention. And right away, it made me stand out from the room. So if you're coming up to someone in an event, starting a conversation, and you want to go a little bit deeper, the whole idea of saying, hey, how can I help you? Sometimes in some cultures, people don't like that. And I'll tell you why. In some cultures, if someone thinks that you're going to help them, they think that they're going to be obliged to help you back. That's very weird. If the whole reciprocity rule relates karmic management almost, because Geshe Michael Roach, one of my teachers who wrote the book about, wrote the book called Karmic Management, speaks about these rules of reciprocity where, like, if you want to make $1 million, or if you want to fall in love, find someone who wants the exact same goal and work with them to achieve that goal. So if you're looking to connect with someone at an event deeper and you want to ask them, how can I help you? It's more relevant to ask them, hey, what's most important for you these days? Or what kind of projects are you working on that's, you know, your biggest focus? Or are there any exciting challenges that you're working on the project right now? Now, depending on how well you know this person, or is it the first time you're meeting them? Is it the first 2 minutes of the conversation? Or have you already talking to them for 10 minutes? You can always ask people about a challenge. You can ask them about an opportunity. Are there any exciting opportunities right now that maybe someone in this event can help you resolve? That puts you as a super connector. Hey, by the way, I'm not new to this network. I know quite a few people in this room. Is there someone in this room that you would love to potentially meet today? I'd love to create an opportunity for me to introduce you to them. That puts you in an opportunity where instead of understanding what kind of help they need, you're understanding who they wish they can meet. And by them telling you, yeah, you know, I'm really open to meeting anyone. They're like, well, you know, are you looking more for like marketing people? Are you looking for more business development people? Are you looking for more investors? Are you looking for potential clients? Tell me a little more about yourself and who you're looking to meet. Like, get it out to them. People really love to share who they wish to meet and why. And that's going to make you popular in front of their eyes.
Thank you. One mistake that I made recently is that I connected with a multimillionaire, and he was looking to refinance a debt of hundreds of millions of dollars. And I thought I could introduce him to some people that could actually help him with that. And what happened is I introduced him to two people, and those two people did not come to the meeting. And that made me look bad. So the guy said, you know what, Lily, I think I'll wish you the best and I won't do business with you anymore. And it made me look really bad. And it made me think about, okay, what can I put in place so that this kind of thing doesn't happen? Or is it just a matter of accepting that simply some people will not give you the time of the day? Some people will just not see your value. Some people will not, like, give you, you know, the opportunity to fix whatever is wrong.
So, you know, there's a lot. What you've just given me is very complex because it's... It needs to be broken down. I've done a lot of these. Some went extremely well. Some didn't go anywhere. And some went bad. Like someone doesn't show up or someone actually does a bad deal. Someone is unethical. And in some cultures, even if you just made an introduction and you didn't ask for any commission, nothing involved. In some cultures, if you make an introduction and it goes bad, they come back to you and blame you. I'm like, why? I just made an introduction. I didn't give you assurance that this person would be perfect for the rest of your life. It even happened to me. I think it was like a year ago, I connected a couple of people who I thought was business, and they ended up going out together for 6 months. It was a very beautiful relationship. 6 months later, she comes to me, and she's like, oh my God, you connected me with a horrible guy. He cheated on me. I'm like, how did I know? Like, how? Why are you blaming me? 6 months, you guys are going out together. And the same thing in business. It's happened to me in the past, not only good things, where I've helped over 100 companies raise money. I've helped 1,000 companies connect with the right kind of strategic partners. Some people have blamed me. Hey, Gil, you connected us with someone and he said he was going to invest $1 million and he only invested $300,000. This is really bad. We need you to go back and resolve it. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, I connected with him at an event. It was a very friendly introduction. You never even gave me a commission. You never called and said thank you. Why do I owe you anything to go back to this person and further negotiate? Maybe he didn't like your pitch. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he's low on cash flow. Like, don't blame someone for trying to help you. And this is not their fault. This is humanity. Humanity has a very high expectation that others should do for them, which is why, again, we've not been educated enough on networking, which is why we're getting it wrong as humanity. Which is why we have 40 wars in the world, which is why economies in the world right now are crashing, because we don't know how to build such relationships. I call these the new codes of networking. And my book is called The New Codes of Networking on purpose, because these are new codes that would help us come into the 2030s. Yeah, the 2030s are going to be a whole new era of networking where we understand how to network with each other because AI is going to be so advanced. So we'll need to understand how to co-create with people, not to find partners, but to find collaborators. So when you're trying to help someone to connect with someone that's valuable, number one, set very, very clear boundaries on like, hey, am I staying responsible here? Because I'm getting a commission, I'm getting a piece of the pie, you're keeping me involved in the business, and you want me to help mediate and moderate this? No problem. I'll make a WhatsApp group, and you please invite me to the next Zoom meeting and let me stay involved. Sounds good. If I'm just making an introduction because you told me you needed a supplier for some new paper, and I introduce you to two suppliers of paper, it's up to you to negotiate whatever you want with them and to learn how to build that business yourself. It's not my responsibility to tell you or to teach you how to work with each other. Humanity believes that because you had a good relationship with someone and then you introduced them to that, you introduced me to that someone, I'm going to have the same relationship you had. But that's like, who taught us that? It's very strange to say, if I'm having a good relationship with John and John's company is doing an amazing service for my company and we're paying them $1 million every single year in their services and we're so happy with them, just because I introduced them to you doesn't mean at all that you're going to have the same relationship or the same result. You're a completely different person. It's a completely different service level agreement. It's a completely different timeline. Whether you believe whether you're esoteric and you believe in astrology, maybe you connected on a really bad day. Maybe you had a bad day, he had a bad day, you got into a fight, nothing's working out. There are so many little details. That's why in the last 4 years, I've coined the term of quantum networking mechanics. Because looking at quantum networking, people need to understand the depth of networking, the amount of detail that exists in a relationship that you cannot just act on a superficial way. People think that networking is superficial. No, networking is not. You are as a human being. People don't like to go to networking events because it's draining and most people are fake. No, they're not. You're being fake. You're being draining to them. And what I'm telling people is now, as the world is truly shifting, we must look for more tight networks. We must look for more closed networks. We must look for the right clubs, the right masterminds to get into, and to really come in and say, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to be serving, I'm going to make a difference, I'm going to add value, I'm going to connect people because I want all of these back at me. If not, I cannot complain about my network.
Thank you. How does a wannabe wealthy magnetic super connector manage the cultural aspect of networking? Because I think in certain cultures, you doing certain things is so triggering and it could literally lead to zero even after months of negotiation simply because you didn't know how to say hello to, the father or whoever else was in that particular meeting, the most senior person in the room or whatever it was. Like, how do you discover the cultural aspect and how do you manage that in the best?
Such a good question, Lily. Wow, this is really wonderful. I love the way you're taking this and you're going very deep, which is great for your audience. And this is what's important these days, to take these kind of subjects super deep. So first of all, cross-cultural networking took me a long time to learn. I think I'm at like level 3 out of 10 at learning cross-cultural networking. Now, just to bring context to this, I have lived in 7 countries. I speak 4 languages. English is my 3rd language, a language that I never learned in school, and I really only started to pick it up in my early teens. I have done business in 50 countries, and I have had to learn the hard way how not to do business in some cultures because there wasn't enough books that could teach me that. Today, it's a little bit easier. First of all, you can ask AI. GPT has a lot of answers on specific cultures and how they network. Whether you're in Asia and you're giving someone a business card, it's not called a business card, it's called a name card. You don't hand it to them with one hand, you hand them with 2 hands. You check out the card first of all before you look at them in the eyes, and then you look at the card again. Then you don't put it away in your pocket right away. You hold on to it for a little bit while talking, maybe putting it on the table in front of you so you can gesture to the card and you can connect to the card. There's some cultures, in India, for example, where they're shaking their head a little bit and you don't know if they're saying yes or no, like you're a little bit confused if you come from a different culture. And again, no disrespect, but it's confusing for some people. And there's some cultures where in Japan, for example, people will say yes, yes, yes to the meeting. Everything is good. They like your proposal. And suddenly a couple of days later, you hear from the assistant of the assistant that they really didn't like your proposal and nothing's going to work out. There's some places where in the US, for example, people will be all friendly, friendly, friendly. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. And suddenly you don't hear back from them for like a few days, a few weeks. Why? Because they're just completely overwhelmed and they just don't have enough time to follow up with you. There's some cultures where, you know, in England, if you don't spend a few minutes in the beginning of the call, or the beginning of the meeting, talking about the weather, talking about sports, talking about the queen, or she's already passed away, but talking a little bit, socializing, it's not going to work out for you in business. There, I can outline very, very specifics. You know, I lived in Russia for many years. So I did business in Kazakhstan and Ukraine for many, many years. I lived in England for 10 years. So I did a lot of business all over Europe. I lived in Canada for 10 years. So I did a lot of business all over North America, quite a bit of it, moved around North America. And I lived in Israel for 10 years. So I understand the Middle East very, very well. In the last 5 years, I've been to Dubai more than 20 times, you know, so I've done a lot of very, very specific business in Dubai, especially during COVID. Many people think I've lived in Dubai for the last few years because they saw me at the right events constantly. I've spoken at over 100 events in Dubai. People, why you live in Bali, Gil? What do you mean you live in Bali? We see you all the time in Dubai. I'm like, no. You see me like 4 times a year in Dubai, but you see me because I show up at the right events. I'm very selective and you show up at the right events. That means that you're also a good quality person. So we build a network that way. But in Dubai, in the Middle East, people are saying, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Like, it might never happen. They're like, oh yeah, let's do this together, inshallah. Okay, maybe if God willing, we'll see each other. Like, oh, are you coming to my event? Yes, yes, yes. I will try to make to your event, inshallah. 90%, that's a no. They're not coming to your event, so you can't add them to the guest list. And that's a serious thing because in some businesses, unless you understand some of these cultural, you know, differentiations, you could really get it wrong. So what I tell people, if you're doing something small, go with GPT, read a couple of books. If you're doing something serious, work with a consultant. I've worked with over 100 different epic companies that wanted to move cultures. They wanted to move cultures, meaning they wanted to go global. For many years, way before COVID, and that, you know, I started in 2013 was my first one, and I had a Go Global mastermind. And the idea of Go Global is to take your business or your service from wherever you are to another place globally, not everywhere. The worst thing people could do when you tell them, hey, let's go global, is they say to you, I want to go everywhere around the world. No. Cross-cultural mean I want to go only to English-speaking countries. Let's start with England and New Zealand only. I want to go into Europe. No. You don't want to go to Europe. You want to go to like 2 countries or 3 countries? Okay. I want to go to the Middle East. No, the Middle East is massive. Let's pick a country to start with. Let's pick a region to start with. People come to me and say, Gil, you're in Asia. You're living in Indonesia right now. You're so well connected to the royal families. You're connected to the government. I want to go into all over Asia. No. I live in Indonesia. I can help you in Indonesia. I'm connected in some parts of Asia for sure, but it's very different to take your business into Indonesia or into Thailand or into Vietnam. Completely different world, different language, different culture, different way of marketing, different way of networking. So that's why I really love what's called precision networking, which is much better than any marketing budget that someone can allocate to helping a business grow. I can cut that budget by 80%. By giving them a precision networking plan instead of a marketing plan. It's a completely different strategy of being very precise with who you want, which country, which region, and I know how to break that down. So I tell people this very, very simply. Pick your business that you want to develop. You might have a few of them. Pick a region or a specific group or an avatar of a person you want to go after and start going after them. It's really wonderful to try to get 100 of those clients, depending on the kind of business you have, and study how you did that. That for me is exciting. Study how that culture or how this country that, you know, reacted differently to the one we're used to. I'm a scientist, so a lot of what I've been studying for the last 20 years has been the arts and sciences of human networking. And I've had to learn how to go through the successful failures of networking in order to get to where I am today, of course. So I tell people either you're going to go through your own successful failures and go the hard way, and it's going to take you more time and it's going to take you more money and more frustration, which is completely okay. I love it. I support it. I tell my kids, It's the hero's journey. I got three little kids and they're learning about business. So it's the hero's journey. Or you can work with someone. Same thing, like if someone wants to learn how to cook, they work with a chef. If someone wants to learn how to play the piano, they work with a teacher. Someone wants to learn how to play basketball, they work with a coach. So we can always work with someone who's a few steps ahead of us, and they can help us co-elevate. They can help us find hacks along the way. And I like hacks. I like shortcuts. By nature, I'm a strategist, but I'm really a hacker.
Thank you. I've been part of many multi-million dollar deals that haven't panned out. And sometimes it was because the deals didn't go through. Sometimes it was because the deals didn't get paid, like the commission wasn't paid. Sometimes it was because some of the people that were involved wanted a tiny percentage extra, so that the whole thing kind of fell apart. So many different reasons. And I'm wondering about what are the top mistakes that are keeping wannabe wealthy magnetic superconnectors broke and that are keeping them not paid? And what should be put in place so that the affiliate commission or the brokering commission, whatever, gets paid?
So the systems that they need start with people. Most superconnectors don't have a good enough assistant. Simple. You know, I've helped so many incredible entrepreneurs and superconnectors hire their first networking angel. To me, a networking angel is a position I created about 12 years ago, and it was basically a business assistant on steroids that's been trained with my frameworks on how to help a connector or an entrepreneur. Every good entrepreneur needs to be somewhat of a good networker, or else they're not going to succeed. An entrepreneur with that good networking skill is going to fail how to build a team, how to attract mentors, attract investors, attract clients, attract strategic partners, attract vendors. It's all about networking. So if you're an entrepreneur or a super connector, it's almost like the same thing, but an entrepreneur is connecting everything internally into one business. It's a little bit easier to do because you have a team working with you. Most super connectors are not doing everything into one business. They're doing everything outwards. They're shooting out, shooting in different directions. Let me help you connect you with a gold deal. Let me help you connect you with a real estate deal. Let me help you connect you with a retail deal. Let me help you connect you with a lover. You know, we connect everywhere. So number one, have a really good business assistant. Make sure that they're trained. Make sure they have the right frameworks, how to help you manage your time, manage your inboxes, and manage your network. Number one, extremely important. If anyone needs to hire an epic business assistant, I'm not going to introduce you to one. I'm going to give you frameworks and solutions and how to find one, how to train them, and how to keep them well managed. We have all these frameworks in space. We've helped hire probably 300 or 400 already assistants for different people around the world. We're very, very selective with who we help. We don't want to help. We don't have a recruitment agency. It's not our thing. We work with recruitment agencies. We have frameworks on how to bring them in, and then our team can train them what to do. Number two, technology. Pick the right technology you want. There isn't one right now that I love the most. I'm not going to mention any brands of technology that I love the most. No company out there currently is paying me money. I've stopped accepting all money from all CRM companies. It's like 6-7 years ago because they were all crap. Sorry, all of them. All of them are awful. I believe now in 2026, 2027, we're going to have some really, really intuitive CRMs coming out, which is more about not client relationship management. It's more about network management software. Yeah. And these network management, it's not just going to manage my clients or prospects. Not everybody is a lead. It could be a strategic partner. It could just be someone who's on my top 100 list and I should remember to invite them to my next birthday. Or it should be someone amazing who's in real estate. When I go to my next real estate event, I should invite these 10 people. So we've not been taught how to manage our network. By the way, if anybody out there is working on anything like this, let me know. I'll be your ambassador. I'm looking to sit on a board of an amazing company who wants to do this. I can give them the frameworks and I'll be the best ambassador they can ever imagine, giving them more clients than they can dream for. But number two is software. And I'm not saying there isn't good software out there. I'm saying there isn't an ideal software for me. However, every CRM is only as good as the data that you put inside of it. So every super connector is only going to be as good as their actual CRM system? What information do you have in there? Going back to what I said about curiosity, do you know where they went on vacation last? Do you know their husband's or wife's name? Do you know if they like wine or if they like vodka, or if they actually like Gil Petersil? They don't drink any alcohol. They love infused water and high quality teas. You know, I'm a tea guy. I have a whole movement called Cha Tea because I believe that tea is the ideal way of connecting people. So what do you know about the people? And this, all this information needs to be in a CRM that is searchable. And with regards to the software, again, I don't believe we should do it all ourselves. I think we should have a team working with us. For example, I have a whole team. We create our own network management systems because depending on which company I have, we can't just work with existing CRMs. They don't have the solutions we need. That's why I'm really looking for a company out there. But we've managed to create frameworks that really work for us where the team gets not only prompt, but we can always find the people we need very quickly. Like I know over 1,000 active investors around the world, and active meaning we have been in touch with them at least in the last 2 months, and active meaning they've made investments in the last 6 months. So we like staying in touch with these people, but how do you stay in touch with 1,000 people by yourself? You cannot. You need a system to help you do that. You know, the average human being can only stay in touch with an average of 150 people at any given moment of their life. And I believe it's not enough for super connectors like me. I need to stay in touch with much, much more. On an average day, I'll be in touch with about 70 to 80 people. Yeah. On an average month with my team, we'll be in touch with a couple of 1,000 people. I'm not talking about mass email. I'm not talking about bulk messages. Individual curated messages by human beings to human beings, not AI, ladies and gentlemen. I do believe in AI to help us manage systems, but not to replace us. No AI is replacing me anytime soon, which is why I believe in short voice messages and very curated ones so people know it's me and it's my tonality. I don't want an AI to replace what I'm saying. I want an AI to guide me sometimes. I want an AI to help me keep track of massive databases. I want AI to guide my team and prompt my team or nudge my team. But I love human to human connection.
Thank you. How does someone's personality style impact their ability to become a wealthy magnetic super connector? For example, someone who is anxiously attached or secure or avoidant, or a people pleaser, or a person who is generally relatively needy or comes across as needy. How does that energy kind of translate into business or not? And what should happen so that someone can leverage whatever personality style they have to become a wealthy magnetic super connector?
So it's a very, it's a full on question. There's a few questions inside of there. I'll say this, not everyone needs to be a super connector. Sometimes you can go and get a job with a super connector, work with them for 2-3 years. Trust me, a lot will rub off on you. You know, working with Tony Robbins for 13 years, a lot rubbed off on me, a lot. I get on speed and on stages. People are like, wow, you remind me of this guy, Tony Robbins. I'm like, I worked with him for a while. So I saw him on stages. I spent time with him, went backstage many, many times. I was invited to his house. You know, we spent time together. I love meditation, so I spend time with Eckhart Tolle a lot to go deep, to meditate, to be zen with people, to be really present with people. So there's a saying that fake it until you make it. I don't believe that. I believe in modeling people. It's how we can learn quickly. Most humanity out there right now is really good at modeling people, but for some reason we get sent to school to not model people, but to try to model systems. But we're human. We're not meant to model systems. We're meant to model other people. So I tell people, first of all, if you're a super connector and you want to get better, find a couple of other super connectors and try to serve them. Try to add value to them. Like, be good for them. Like, one of my biggest mentors in, like, for the last 20 years has been Keith Ferrazzi. Love the guy. He wrote the book Never Eat Alone. The guy was my biggest hero for years. And about 10 years ago, I got an opportunity to share the stage with him. And I managed to connect with him briefly before the event. And in my head, I messed it up. Completely messed it up. And I tried to follow up with him. And I couldn't get in touch with him for a couple of years. I was like, oh my God, you're eating me up. Like, my biggest mentor. I had an opportunity and I lost it. And then we got to share the stage again when we shared the stage in Mind Valley. And both of us were there for 5 days. And we bonded like crazy. And we became friends. And since then, we've been in touch regularly. I've helped him hire a couple of business assistants for his team. I've met him a few times when he came here to Bali. I hosted him in my home, spent time with his family, mentored his son. Like, you know, sometimes these things take a while, and that's completely okay. So whoever is out there who wants to improve how they are, find your role models and serve them. Co-elevate with other people. Don't think that you are perfect the way you are because you're far from it. If you think you're perfect, hey, good luck in your life. But probably the people who are listening to this podcast right now, if you're listening to this on social media, maybe you've gone on a spiritual journey and you've realized you're not perfect. You're great. You're wonderful. But if you really want to be perfect, to me, in my opinion only, by the way, maybe your mother told you you're perfect and that's okay because, you know, God tells us we're perfect the way we are. I don't believe that. I believe that we can achieve perfection by collaborating with the right people. I believe that anything we want to achieve in life can only truly be achieved when we collaborate with other people. Not just one person, we collaborate with others. I don't think I've achieved anything alone in my life, alone. And I've done a lot. I've turned 47 years old last week, and I've done a lot. Multiple businesses that were worth millions. 3 kids, lived in many, many countries. I've done a lot. Nothing I did on my own. It was all collaborative. So for the super connectors out there, one, you could choose to audit yourself and see where you can improve a little bit. You can work with a coach, work with a mentor, and see how you can improve towards your ikigai, towards what's great about you. What is the best powers that you have? Number two, see if you could set some role models ahead of you. Who's much, much better than you? And see if you can add value to them. Not to get a commission, just to add value so you could start building relations with people who are a few steps ahead of you. Number three, see if you can hire some people. Super connectors that work alone are full of, I can't say the bad word, but they're full of S, you know, I'm sorry, you can be a super connector and you're working alone. It doesn't work. You're going to burn out. You're going to end up being broke. You look like you have money because you're wearing a nice suit and a nice tie, but then you go back home in an Uber and you live in a small apartment, you know, that probably belongs to your parents. Sorry, if you're a super connector that's probably, that's really flourishing, you have a team, you have systems in place, you're giving charity, you're adding value to people, you're going to workshops, you're learning, you're getting coached, you're constantly developing. Last week, I went to a workshop. I was inside writing notes for 2 days. I went to a workshop with Ken Honda, happy money guy. This guy has been on my radar for the last 4 years. I've been wishing to find time to visit him in Japan somewhere. Couldn't find a time. I manifested him showing up here in Bali. And like a good boy at the age of 47, I'm sitting in the front row writing notes, making notes. And even on day two, I took out my whole tea set. And Honda loves tea. I'm a huge fan of tea. I set up a micro tea ceremony for everyone on my VIP table. And I was serving Ken Honda on stage, literally asking for permission, but going up on stage and pouring him tea into a little cup that I gave him. That's serving. Even though I could see him eye to eye, because we are equal, he's great, I'm great. It's not, oh my God, Ken, you're up there. No, no. Ken, how can I serve you? By the end of day two, we're bonding next to each other. He's like, Gil, it's been such a great experience. Come to my hotel room as I'm packing my bags. I want to give you a gift. He gave me a beautiful golden pen for my birthday, and he gave me a bag of tea from Japan that's one of his favorite teas, just to say thank you to me for having been serving him for the last couple of days. He gives me his WhatsApp number. He's like, let's stay in touch. I want to collaborate with you. That's the sort of co-elevation I want to see people doing in the world out there. That's the sort of super connector values I want to see in super connectors out there. And if someone out there wants to co-elevate with me, I'm always learning. I always want to be co-elevating with others.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you and your courses.
That's an easy one. I'm the only Gil Petersill on this earth, which means I'm the only Gil Petersill on Google. If you Google my name, you could find me anywhere. You can connect me ideally on LinkedIn. I'm very active on Instagram as well. My team helps me out in all social medias. If you send me any kind of requests and you want to talk to me, my team can help set that up. If you want to get access to any of my documents, just ask. Send me a message. Say, Gil, can I have the networking audit? Gil, can I have the top 10 philosophy? Just ask for a gift. I'll give it to you. I am full of abundance. If you want to talk to me out there, I love 1-minute voice messages. It's one of the most powerful abilities that we have as human beings is to share a short voice message with another human being. They'll get one back from me. I want people to reach out to me if they want to go global. That's really my biggest passion is to help people expand and flourish on a global level when it's a little bit scary. I hold them by the hand and we help them flourish. And these days I'm very much attracted by the world of longevity and the world of biohacking. At the end of last year, I started working with an organization called Human Garage, which is currently one of the leading and fastest moving wellness movement in the world. So I'm an executive in that company. I have a movement called Chati. We show up at the right social events around the world, whether it's Davos, the World Economic Forum, a Tony Robbins event, a crypto event, and we create really, really beautiful tea bars, not to serve people tea, but to help people network. And we believe doing it over a cup of tea is a magical instrument. So if anybody wants to talk to me about these subjects, they want to collaborate, they want to raise money, they want to find the right connections, reach out and say hello and make sure you tell me that you heard me with Lily here today.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.